have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, this is Apostle Dawn of Shabbat Saturday on Elations Radio, wanting to wish you a happy and a prosperous Merry Christmas and New Year from the Shabbat Saturday family here on Elations Radio. Shabbat the Lord this season.
Hallelujah to the Lord. Welcome to For His Glory. I'm your host, Brian Blackman. I'm here with my illustrious producer, Kimmy Kim, and we're glad that you tuned in to For His Glory with Elations Radio. Well, we've been out, I guess, a little bit because of different various things. Thanksgiving, and then we had to do some traveling. So we're back now, though, so we thank God for that. We thank God for the safe journey. Again, we just thank God for the opportunity to be here, and we're here to bring forth the word of the Lord, to break the bread of life. And again, it was the break was good, but we're glad to be back. Amen, amen, amen. I had been looking at something, and I had been reading at something. I just go ahead and start right off looking in Psalms 107. This is a topic that I love the topic. I love the topic. It's very much needed. Sometimes I have been somewhat kind of evasive of it, and I'll tell you why. The reason why I sometimes get a little evasive of it is because I look at different people's lifestyles, and I realize that some people take God's mercy and they take God's grace for granted. However, at this particular time, as I started reading over this particular psalm, it showed me the reflection. It showed me a reflection of man and how man does, behave himself, how he carry himself, how we do at particular times, get on our feet. And it seems as though the minute we get on our feet, we forget God. But I really believe, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, that this particular verse or this particular psalm is very much needed. In fact, there's nothing in, if you ask me, there's nothing in the Word of God that's in the Word of God that I don't feel is not needed. At some point, one way, shape, form, or fashion, you're going to need that word. People don't understand that, you know, Jesus was real when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There was a time I didn't know that. There was a time I didn't realize that. However, now coming into the knowledge of the truth, I realize it and I understand it more and more each and every day. We forget a lot of times that the world itself was and is formed and is still being held together by God's word. It's still on its axis. It's still rotating. It's still doing everything that God has created it to do and ordained it to do. So, even, you know, when he talked to Job, he said, you know, he set the border for the waters not to cross at certain times and certain places. So he's doing his part, and he does his part by his word, through his word. So I'm not going to hold you up any longer on that. I'm just going to get into Psalms 107. And it says, oh, give thanks. Let me back up. Father, we thank you for this marvelous day. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for our Alations Radio. We thank you for our producer, Kimmy Kim. We thank you for each and every one who may be listening to us, even as of tonight. We pray that this word will find a resting place in each and every heart. We pray that it won't go out void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was sent. And we be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' Yeshua name we do pray. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to get that out. I wanted to get this in the way, so I guess so we can do this thing in decency and order, so the devil won't try to come in and try to jack nothing up in the process. But anyway, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good; for His mercy endureth forever." I'm reminded right there that the Bible does say His mercy endures forever. However, a quick thought came to my mind. I remember one particular person that was their favorite, if you will. and they hung to it. You know, sometimes with the word of God, you have to be careful. You have to, like the Bible says, get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding. Because they read that particular part and they held to it and they felt that because God's mercy endured forever, they felt that they could do any and everything that they wanted to do. They felt like this, I imagine as long as they kept coming to church, and I don't even know if they paid tithes or not, but I just know that they felt that as long as they kept coming to church and clapping and saying amen and praising the Lord, that it was okay that once they got out of the church, they could behave themselves any kind of way because they felt like God's mercy endured forever. It's not for that purpose. I just have to put that disclaimer out there because I saw someone lose their life behind that. God would give them warning and warning and warning and warning and warning and warning and time and time again for them to repent and correct their ways, but they felt like since his mercy endured forever, they could still do how they pleased or what they pleased to do. Y'all, you have to forgive me. I've been in ministry for quite a while, so I've seen quite a few things. Not all of them haven't been good things. And the ones or the things that have not been so great or so good for me or for others turned out that they turned out to be things that taught me something. But the word says his mercy endures forever. He said, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I could stop right there alone and probably just milk that one verse, that second verse out. Just milk it dry because there is an enemy. And I'm not talking about you necessarily being my enemy or somebody of the flesh being my enemy, but there is an enemy who seeks to and fro. He seeks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The word says he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He seeks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So each and every one of us at one time or another in this thing called life, we have came in contact, whether we wanted to or not, with this enemy who wanted to wipe us out. If it was just a mere thing that you was riding along, a mere car accident, or maybe you even had a car accident, but that car accident did not turn out to be fatal, rest assured that somewhere God intervened, because you have an enemy who wants to take you out. That's his assignment. That's what he do. That's what he does. So for every time that you have came in contact with this enemy, this unseen enemy called Satan, called Lucifer, called the prince of the, and every time that you may have came into a close call or a what we would call a brush of death, that was your enemy trying to sift you. That's what Jesus told Peter. He came to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed. He intervened. Jesus on the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. He right then redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. I don't know how many times, if any of you that's listening to me right now, I don't know how many times that you may have had to go into the operating room. Myself, I think I may have, if I remember correctly, it's been about five times that I've had to go under the knife. And, you know, one time the Lord began to bring it to my attention. How far or how deep or how close are you to death when you go under the knife? Remember, you're under the knife. You're so deep and you're so far under that you can't feel who's cutting on you. You can't feel the cut. You can't feel. Sometimes they're using different tools. Sometimes they're using chisels. Sometimes they're using drills. Sometimes they're using saws. But you're so far under. You're so far deep that you can't feel what's going on. So my question is to you, how close are you to death? I'm taking away the medical term and the terms and all that because you're under. And who's to say that the anesthesiologist may not have gotten something right, but God still saw fit to bring you through the recovery room? They can say what they want to say, but even in the terms of them using the term now, a small surgery, even in the terms sometimes that they use as outpatient surgery, you know, that kind of makes it seem like it's really not as dramatic. It's just a simple procedure. No. Anytime you go under the knife and you got to go to that point or that extreme of unconsciousness that you can't feel somebody cutting on you, chopping on you, it's not that simple. It's not that simple because you're on the edge of life and death. And it takes a miraculous God. I don't even know how I got here, but it takes a miraculous God to bring you out of such a state. Can't just leave it up to man. I just can't leave it up to medicine. I can't just leave it up to a procedure. There is a God who watches over us. There is a God who sits high and looks low and watches over us. I just can't just leave it like that. I just can't say, you know, hey, because that in itself is a miracle. To me, there's no such thing as a procedure. Not if you have to be put to, not if you have to be put to sleep where you can't feel nothing. It says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you've had any experiences whatsoever, I've heard tell people someone get hit by gunshot wounds. I've heard people, you know, had cancer and God delivered them from cancer. Myself, it was depression, panic attack, heart disease. It was all that. But God redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. And the word says, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have a right to say so. Whatever God has delivered you from, if he delivered you from alcoholism, if he delivered you from crack cocaine, if he delivered you from cigarettes, if he delivered you from homosexuality, if he delivered you from whoremongering, if he delivered you from yourself, you have a right and you have a testimony to say so. To share with the rest of the world. Yes, I was bound. Yes, the devil had me. Yes, I was on my way to a devil's hell. But God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why I can't get over, you know, sometimes, you know, you a lot of people act like they don't know what's going on. You said something about, let's have a testimonial service. And people act like they don't know what's going on, like God ain't done nothing for me. Yes, he's done something for you. And God said, whatever I've done for you, you got a right to tell it. You got a right to say, yes, there is a God. In fact, later on, it tells us by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimonies that we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony to let us know, let other people know how merciful and how God is. In the third verse, it says, and gather them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. He's talking about the children of Israel when he delivered them from Egypt. He said, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Listen, sometimes that's the best place where God wants you to be, where your own soul just faints within you. When you realize and know that you can't even help yourself, let alone help somebody else, but now you in a spot, you in the jam, and you can't help yourself because your soul, your own soul has fainted within you. They're in the wilderness. They're in a dead place, a place where there is no life. Tell every believer, if you're a believer at one time or another, you will have what we call a wilderness experience, or what I call a wilderness experience. A place where it seems like there's no life, but yet God is giving you life. He's causing you to be sustained in a dead place. He's speaking life to you in a dead place, in a dead area. A place where even in your wildest mind, in your wildest dream, you're thinking, I can't make it out of this. There's no way that I'm going to come through this. But God is saying, yes, if you just hold on to me, I'm going to bring you through. You will see another day if you hold on to me, if you hold on to my son, if you hold on to the blood, if you hold on to my word. Sometimes we won't do what it is he wants us to do until he gets us into that place to where our own souls faint. In the sixth verse, it said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all. He delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Listen, he delivered them out of their distress. The minute they cried out, he delivered them out of their distress. A lot of people right now are in a tight predicament, and God is waiting on them to holler. Some of them won't holler because they're still holding on to something that they ain't got no business holding on to, whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's a thing, whether it's a drug. They won't let go. You know, it's been a while, you know, that I used to watch wrestling quite a bit. It's been a while. I got away from it, and every now and then I take a little peek at it. Every now and then, and it's quite comical because it's all, you know, it's all scripted out. Oh Lord, I probably shouldn't have told some people that because some people get mad at you about that kind of stuff. But I see that thing. I look at that sometimes, and I see tag team matches sometimes, and I see people. Sometimes I look at certain people, and it's just like I'm looking at wrestling. It's like they're in the middle of the ring, they're wrestling with some demon, they're wrestling with some devil, and God is standing on the apron, reaching across the rope, saying, tag me, I want to come in, I want to handle this, but they won't tag, they won't make the tag. They won't do what it is for them to necessarily make the tag. And you know, if you're watching it, you are frustrating, you rooting for them, you try to tell them, go get the tag. God is in somebody's corner trying to get them to take the tag. But you'd rather try to fight that fight yourself. You'd rather try to win that battle yourself. And anything that you're trying to fight yourself without God, you're fighting in the flesh. And the scripture tells us there's no one good thing in the flesh. The Bible tells us if we sow into the flesh, we're going to reap corruption from the flesh. Let me go on. It says in the 7th verse, he led them into a city of habitation. Now, before, they had no city. Before, they was out there in the desert, out there in the wilderness. And even though they was out there in the wilderness, God provided for them. He gave them a cloud by night and a cloud by day. By day, it shielded them from the heat, from the elements of the desert. And at night, because it was cold, it was just like he flipped the cloud over, and then they had heat. He's a great God, and he's a merciful God. I was talking to one pastor. She said every time she starts thinking about God is good, that word turns from good to great. Because that's who he is. And then in the 8th verse, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, that sounds just like Jesus. Jesus said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You know, sometimes we're in predicaments, and sometimes we're in places where God just want to fill us. He want to fill us more and more with his spirit. He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to fill us with his righteousness. And sometimes he places us in hard places or allows us to be in hard places just so he can do that. But instead of us crying out to him, we want to get mad at God. I remember for a long time in my Christian walk. I remember for a long time in my Christian walk, I would see people and I would understand what I wouldn't understand. I would know that they were mad at God. I couldn't figure out why would they get mad at God or why they were mad at God. I got self-judgmental. Yeah, I'm being transparent there. I got judgmental. And I would say, I don't know how they get mad at God. I can't get mad at God. That's what I thought. That's what I said. But there was some predicament. And there was some things. One thing in particular, he told me he was going to do. And immediately when he told me he was going to do it, I didn't like the idea because I didn't think that I could do it. I looked at me instead of what God and who God was. So it required a little something of me that I had to do. So therefore, because I had to do or play a part in it, I did not feel like it was fair that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, how he said he was going to do it, basically. And nonetheless, it didn't work out. And I look at the situation, and basically it didn't work out because of my disbelief, my own disbelief, because of my lack of faith, because of the lack of my trust in God. So it pays us, it behooves us not to get mad at God. Just go the way that God is taking you. Go the way that God is leading you. And the reason I said that, because it was even in this particular verse here, I believe it was in the 7th verse, yeah, where it says, and he led them forth by the right way. Not your way, not anybody else's way, but by the right way. See, we forget that his ways are not our ways. We forget that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. it that way in order for us to confuse the enemy of your soul. We have to do it the way he say do it, because if we do it the way we want to do it, again, we're going to be doing it in the flesh, and the enemy knows about the flesh. The enemy has had us for a long time, a very long time, before we, a lot of us, find God. 25 years in the negative before I found God. I knew about God. I went to church every Sunday. I was active in the church, but my relationship, my full relationship, my full commitment to God didn't happen until I was 25, 26, 27 years old. So for 25, 26 years, up to 26 years, the enemy had me. He knew what it was I liked. He knew what to tempt me with. He knew what I fall for. He knew. There's certain things he still knows. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, and if it wasn't for how God came in and chastened me in certain areas, certain things I know not to fall for no more. Certain things you get enough of, you learn not to fall for it no more. 8th verse says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works of the children of men. For he satisfies the long soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and contaminated the counsel of the Most High. Look, if you want to get in a stuck place, if you want to get, like you said, in some kind of bondage, all you got to do is hear God and act like you don't hear God and do what you want to do anyway. There's a reason why the word says the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. My parents used to say, a hard head make a soft tail. I thank God for them. But the same way, you know, they taught me, you know, pretty much God still teaches me. If you do what I say do, everything going to be all right. If you don't do what I say, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some consequences. You're not going to like it. Eventually, everything going to be all right. But right now, you're going to go through a little something. Because you did not do what it was God commanded you to do. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Listen. And I've seen this. There's holes and there's places that we come to in our life, and sometimes we come to these places or these high places, I'm going to say, out of the will of God. Yeah. Out of the will of God. That's the way I see it. We'll say that sometimes we get to these high places by the world system. Yeah. Or through the world system. Or by way of the streets. Sometimes we'll gain popularity or whatever through all that material gain, material wealth, or whatever. But then, you know, there's a time that once, even though you're in a particular place, you may come to the knowledge of the truth. You may come to believe in God for who he is. And at that point, God may decide that because you've done all that you've done and you've done it on your own, God may decide, I'm going to start over fresh and anew. tear everything down that you've already built, and I'm going to build you up afresh and anew. Now, however you may have got to that place the first time, those same tactics and those same ways may not work when God begins to bring you back up to the place where he's taking you. See, certain pillar talks in the way that you got there the first time, they may have taken you on up, but you may try to take that pillar talk type tactic into the things of God or in the kingdom of God, and you find yourself going right back down to ground zero. And a lot of people can't understand that, because what happens is that now you're not doing things the way your old man used to do things. You're doing it by the way God would do it. Now you're doing it by the Spirit of God. And God will, from time to time, do certain things like that to humble us. And notice he says that he humbled them, and he brought their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. It puts you in that situation again where there's none to help. I look at situations in my lifetime. I would go to certain people and would think, yes, this is one, this is gonna help me out, this is gonna get me where I need to go, and next thing I know, that person is gone. And it's because God is saying, I don't want you to look at man, I want you to look to me. I want you to come to me. I got your answer. I got your healing. I got your deliverance. We think he's being hard. But then in the 13th verse, it says to him again, because he's taking all these other outlets, it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands of thunder. Whatever that was holding them down, whatever that was keeping them captive. He said, well, I don't have no chains on me. I'm not bound. Yeah. If you're dealing with substance abuse, if you're dealing with certain different things, there's things that have you bound. You just don't realize that you're bound to it. I used to call myself a little social drinker. I got control of this. I only do this when I feel like it. No, it's just like that little commercial with the little man that comes and grab him on his shoulder and pull him off the bar stool and drag him outside, and they have to have that cigarette. You're not in control. It's in control of you. You just don't realize. But God broke those bands, and then he says again, Oh, that man should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul offers all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. And he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We have covered maybe three times so far where they were going to a rough place because of their rebellion, because of their unbelief, because of their whatever. They get stuck in a bad place again. And God, and they cry out to God once more and again, and God rescued them once more and again. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Not only did he deliver them, in the 20th verse it says, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's why I think I said earlier, sometimes we have to deliver. Sometimes he saves us from ourselves. Sometimes we know certain things of her brain, destruction, distress, heartache, shame, whatever, and we go forward anyway. He is a merciful God. And then he says, not only do he deliver them, but he heals them. He sends his word, and he heals them. 21st verse says, oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works rejoicing. When we think of his goodness, do we make sacrifices like we should or as we ought to? I know there's times that I think about him and I go to pray and all I can do is say thank you. God, I just want to take this time out and say thank you. I just want to make this sacrifice out right now to say thank you. You're better to me than I could ever be to myself. I was riding along the day and I got this thing. I said, God, sometimes I don't understand why you've done what you've done. I don't understand why you chose me the way you chose me to even be a part of this kingdom, let alone try to operate in your kingdom. But I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you. You are more than worthy to be praised. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And declare his works with rejoicing. That they go down into the sea in ships and do businesses in great waters. That's nothing to take lightly, man. We're talking about doing works on ships. Listen, let's think about your job. Let's think about the different machineries and different mechanics and stuff that goes on your job that we take lightly, that we take and say, well, you know, nothing possibly. Oh, no, there's some of them have worked and do work around some heavy and dangerous equipment, but he be right there with us. Make a dangerous place safe. Do you see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep? For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. The soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at wit's end. They cry unto the Lord in trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. Again, when we talk about just the fishermen, that let's be real, it takes a certain breed to do certain things, and yet even on waters, there's certain troubles that comes up. There's certain storms that come up in your life, and it says, even then, that they call upon the Lord. In another place where you think nobody can get to you, nobody can reach you, but yet God is still there. He's a merciful God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. All at the same time. He's a good God. And his mercy endures forever. As we go into this season of, as we call it Christmas, I'd like for you, if you're under the sound of my voice, to think about the reason with time out to celebrate our Lord, our Savior. Some people don't like to say master, but I'm going to say master. Think about his goodness. Think about his mercy, how his mercy endures forever. Think about his goodness. Think about how he knew his purpose and what it was he was sent here to do. Think about how he healed the sick and how he raised the dead. Think about how he was ridiculed and falsely accused. Think about how he took the many stripes, that through those stripes we might be healed. Think about how he went to the center of the earth 3 days, 3 nights, and came back with our power in his hands. Think about how he has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to where whatsoever we bind on earth, he'll bind it in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth, he will loose in heaven. Think about how he went back to the Father so that the Comforter could come, and how even though he's done his duty here on earth, he's still standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. Think about the mercy. Think about the grace that he has extended unto us. And just during this season, let us, as much as possible, forget about how much they have caused this season to be commercialized. But let us, during this season, remember his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his grace. Let that be our focus point, our focal point during this season. Some people don't even want to say Christmas no more because they're scared the word Christ will come out. There's so many people now, happy holidays and in everything. They don't want to say Christ. That's just the spirit of Antichrist working in the background. So I say to you, if I don't get to hear say anything else to you between now and Christmas, Merry Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy one another. Most of all, enjoy Christ. If by chance you're under the sound of my voice and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you the opportunity. Just pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. You said, if I confess this with my mouth and believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. So I'm doing so now, Father. I'm confessing with my mouth. I'm believing in my heart that Jesus is the Christ. I ask that you come into my heart. I ask that you save me, that you sanctify me through your word, that you wash me in your blood, that you make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan. He has no more place in my life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you can reach me on Facebook, Brian Blasingame. You can reach me on Snapchat, Brian Blasingame, and you can reach me on Instagram, Brian Blasingame. But until then, until the next time we meet again, we say, whatever you do, make sure you do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. Kimmy Kim, we love you. Thank you again. God bless. And we're out. God bless you.
Christ the Savior.